Since the 1992 implementation of term limits in Michigan, the Michigan Political Leadership Program at Michigan State University has recruited, trained, and inspired public policy leaders, offering them vision, commitment, and skills necessary to govern effectively. Recently, they were in West Michigan, guests attending the 15th annual MPLP breakfast. Keynotes, Governor Howard Dean and political strategist Anna Navarro taking the stage, the roving microphone on site. Governor Howard Dean, Dr. Howard Dean, congratulations on your success. Hate to describe your last year.
My last year? Disappointing. I was very much for Hillary. She didn't win. And I'm worried about the future of the country.
Do you worry about the future of the country today?
Yeah. I think the president has no idea what he's doing in terms of foreign policy. And it's you can do a lot of things. Our country is very strong and it's decentralized. And the Congress has a lot of power, which isn't always good. But So I think, in terms of domestic policy, despite the horrible scenes that, ICE raids and all that stuff, we're not going to have a lot of changes unless there's some consensus. But in foreign policy, what the president says matters a lot. We could have very well created a scenario for an invasion of Taiwan by the Chinese with the call that he made. And he didn't think about what he was doing. And if there had been a more aggressive Chinese president, they would have lined up and done that. And what were we going to do about it then? Then we have an international crisis in our hands. So you really do have to be careful and thoughtful. Even Rex Tillerson, who may very well end up being a good influence, doesn't know a lot about foreign policy. And I think it's a real problem. That's what worries me the most, is that there's going to be a miscalculation. Words matter enormously in foreign policy. They don't matter so much at home. At home, what matters is results. And you got 4 years to produce some. But in foreign policy, a few things, words badly placed, which this president is obviously well known for, can really cause trouble.
Do you look to Tom Perez to make things happen?
I think he'll make things happen inside the Beltway, but we need a major, major reconstruction, not just of the party, but of the country. We need to get this first global generation into politics. My generation had done great things for the country. It's time we got out. We're very ideologically divided, and we're very divisive. We're ideological. We need young people in there. The young generation is not particularly ideological. They're actually more to the middle, say, than economically than the Democratic Party is, but they're far more to the center socially than the Republican Party is. And it'll be a good generation. That's what we need to do, is bring into politics. They don't like institutions, and they don't need institutions. So we now have to bring them into an institution, and they're going to change the institution a lot more than the institution is going to change them.
So what's your advice to your voters, your constituents, to move forward?
We got to get the next generation into politics and get us out of it. We've contributed a lot to this country, I think. We've created a global world, which I think is going to continue no matter what Donald Trump has to say about it. We did a lot for civil rights, stopping the Vietnam War, calling presidents when they lied to the American people. But we're too ideological. We're too polarizing. The younger generation is more centrist economically and much more progressive on social issues, and that's the way it's going to be in America, whether people like it or not. And they need to be in power. They'll work together better. They'll be more respectful with each other, which we desperately need in this country. And I think getting them into politics is the highest order, and actually that's what this organization does.
Let's say, expand with final question. The Michigan Political Leadership Program is offering those future opportunities to learn to be in this field of politics. What do you think?
I think it's great. I was in Livonia last night, and there were five or six young people who were certainly under 40 who were in the Michigan State Legislature, and they came out of this program. So I think it's great.
And what do the deans do for fun?
We work. My wife is still a very full-time physician, and I'm still traveling all over the world.
Have you gotten over that standing ovation from The View?
Yes. Listen, look, those ladies have very strong opinions. They're not shy about sharing them. I know a lot of them for a while. I've been a contributor on The View. And so, I think they certainly feel strongly about stuff, as do I.
Tell us a little bit about your background.
Well, I was born in Nicaragua. I fled Nicaragua with my family when I was 8 years old in 1980. There was a communist revolution, the Sandinistas in 79. Settled down in Miami, went to the Sacred Heart in Miami. I like to say all the good things I've learned in life, I learned from the Sacred Heart nuns. All the bad things I've learned in life.
Were you paddled with a ruler?
Actually, no. I was. We were past that. One of your congresswomen, Debbie Dingell, is also a Sacred Heart woman. We did an event in Washington to raise funds. Cokie Roberts, Debbie Dingell, myself. As you can tell, they bring up really shy violets. So.
How did this upbringing shape you into who you are today on this political ride?
It's had an enormous effect. Look, when you have to flee your country, when you lose your structure, your family, your friends, your assets from one day to the other, I saw my parents lose everything from one day to the other. It teaches you very early in life that politics matter, that elections matter, that being engaged matters. And then certainly living in Miami, which is such an immigrant city where there's so many political exiles, different waves of political exiles, the Cuban Americans, the Nicaraguan Americans, the Colombian Americans, the Venezuelans. It seems like every few years there's a new country that's a hot spot and people are fleeing to Miami. So we really are a city, that's been built by immigrants. And it shapes you to see all those people who feel the pain of the political distress going on in their home countries, but who have learned to love this country the way we do. And we do it with style and flavor, right?
Describe your last year.
My last year, surreal. Somewhere between surreal and insane. More travel than I can begin to explain. And really, it was, on the political front, it was a very strange, unique year for me. Usually, I've supported every Republican candidate since my adult life. I have worked on many of the campaigns, been a surrogate friend or ally. And so usually what happens is you wake up in the morning with an inbox full of emails with talking points and media guidances, and usually you stick to them. This is the first time in my life that I wasn't supporting a candidate. I wasn't part of a campaign. I wasn't receiving talking points and media guidance. So what you saw was really a very personal evolution, and it was all me. I had to do my own analysis, my own thinking, and I was free to do it. I was free to do it not only because I was not tied to any campaign, but also because, I must say, CNN and the outlets that I'm on, ABC, they never gave me any editorial restriction. I, was able to go out there and say it and be myself and lay it all bare. I think this was a difficult election for the entire country because it really left us raw, and people were emotionally invested, in a way. I think it left us all kind of emotionally drained. It brought out a lot of really ardent feeling on every side.
So in a nutshell, how do we make America great again?
Well, I think America is great. I know America is great because I fled a country full of communists, and because I live around, I live amongst people who fled communism. So I know America is great. I know America is the place where people come to look for opportunity. I know America is a place where we all become Americans and just, feel that sense of patriotism. I'll tell you, I knew I had become an American the first time I liked peanut butter. It's such an American staple.
There might be some in this room.
But it is. I'm on a protein diet right now. You talk to me about the last year. I haven't stopped eating and drinking, it feels like, in 6 months.
Lastly, what do you do for fun?
I have a very active social life. I travel too much. I don't get to spend that much time with friends. But last week was the South Beach Food and Wine Festival in Miami. I hadn't started my protein diet yet, I waited until the day after. So I did a lot of those activities. I love to cook. I love to spend time with my friends. Tonight I'm going down to Miami again, and I'm going to the new restaurant that my friends Gloria and Emilio Estefan are opening. So I am, for fun, I like to enjoy Miami and everything that it has to offer, the beaches, the food, the people, the music. I love Miami. Maybe I'm spending about 5-7 days a month there, which feels like way too little.
Dr. Matt Grossman directs the Institute for Public Policy and Social Research.
Our broad mission is to inform public policy and improve governance in Michigan. We do a lot with the state legislature, and we, of course, train future political candidates with the Michigan Political Leadership Program.
Are we in good hands with your fellows?
I think so. We got to see the graduating class last night, and then I've already spoken to the new class, and it's really just amazing to see the young people inspired to participate in politics and want the campaigns of the future to look better than the campaigns of today.
Quite a history with your fellows. However, this past year has been quite a history. Have you seen that overflow into conversation between your good group?
Well, definitely affected this year's group a lot. The Democrats were very shocked, and we had a diversity of views among the Republicans in the program on the Trump campaign. I think going forward, everybody will be interested in to see how the Trump administration evolves, but also you'll start to get back to focusing on Michigan and thinking about the gubernatorial race going forward. So there's always been interesting political events, and if you keep paying attention, you'll definitely see some that are worth inspiring yourself, but also talking about.
This 15th annual breakfast here in West Michigan, quite the tradition, quite the speakers in the past, present, and I'm sure the future. What do you expect out of today's presentation?
Well, we, I think, first of all, get a very broad cross-section of Grand Rapids and West Michigan here. And so part of what I like to see is to just have people interact, get really a bipartisan a set of social relationships that you can see blossom here. And people tell me all the time that, this is one of the few places where they see and everyone's on the same page. They see people from the other side of the aisle. So that's the first and foremost thing beyond what's happening on stage. But we certainly expect to get some information about what to expect from the Trump administration and how we can improve campaigns going forward.
And this program, this breakfast, is a fundraiser.
Absolutely. And we have broad support. We have almost 500 people here this morning and a good cross-section of the Grand Rapids business community that's supportive of MPLP. But the events cover about one-third of our expenses, so we're also always trying to get new sponsors for scholarship programs, for ongoing events. We do have a nice announcement this morning that the W.K. Kellogg Foundation is going to be supporting some public events to recruit more people to MPLP and help support some of our weekends, including in Grand Rapids.
How can the community, how can the state of Michigan help?
Well, I think if people want to get involved, they can just go to our website, ippsr.msu.edu. And like I said, there'll be an opportunity to kind of test drive MPLP and get a sense of what it's like later in the year.
All right, that roving microphone gets out now and then. Thanks to the team, Anna Navarro, CNN political analyst, Howard Dean, former Vermont governor, and Matt Grossman, directing IPPSR, ippsr.msu.edu/MPLP.